So if you have your Bibles, that means you're a Christian. Not really. If you have Jesus in your heart, means you're a Christian. Amen. This morning, you know, we sang that song, "The Spirit of the Living God, Come and Have Your Way." And the title of the sermon this morning is Yield. Tell your neighbor, say, it's time to yield. You know, when we look at a car, when we start to go into traffic, there's a main interstate. There's a lot of cars going the same speed or relatively the same speed. And then you come at 30 and you yield in and you catch up. You catch up to what's going on. And I really believe that's what God wants. I believe that this year is a year of catching up to what God wants instead of being bogged down with what man's been screaming and hollering and yelling on the television. And I really believe that this year is a year that as we yield, we're going to see a noticeable differences in each one of our lives. So it's becoming more, and it's becoming more noticeable that he is changing you. Tell your neighbor, say, it's becoming noticeable. It is. It's becoming noticeable that God is changing you. We've lost some of the things that we used to put our feet on over the last 2 years. Some of the things we thought, oh, this will just keep going. It'll be the norm. This is the way it is in America. It isn't any longer. And yet Christ came in and he said, good, because this is what I want. And it wasn't the same as last year. What he wants for this year isn't the same as last year. And as we've been in prayer morning and night, one of the words that came this week was, nothing matters but the new creation. Nothing matters but the new creation. Nothing matters. Yesterday, nothing matters about yesterday. What matters is that the new creation gets newer today. Amen? Because we constantly get our minds renewed, don't we? And this is what God wants for our lives. That new creation is the focus. Because if we don't focus on that new creation and continually build it, that old creation tries to take over. Doesn't it? Why does the Bible say, reckon that old man dead? There's a purpose, there's a reason for that, because that old man always wants to claw his way back in. So the focus has got to be the new creation and what God has done. What he has begun, he's able to complete in each one of us. So Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start there. And in verse 10, a very familiar passage. Remember, it's yield. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So that we would walk in them. It was created by God. God prepared it. We are his workmanship. You know, after we were praying downstairs, and my wife started to sing a song, and it just overwhelmed me. The presence of God was so powerful in the prayer room that everything inside of me just started shaking and just started vibrating like crazy. And I didn't want the song. I didn't even know half the words to the song. That's normal. I make up my own. But I didn't even know the song, but it didn't matter. Everything in me, it was like, was so alive to this, what the Spirit of God was doing and what he wanted to say. And it was just a cleansing time. It was a time of a washing, a stirring of what God wants. And I believe he wants to do it in every one of our lives. So as we look at, for we are his workmanship, there's a story that I'm sure most of you know or have heard at one time or another. It said a ship's captain looked into the dark night and he saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately he told the signalman to send this message, alter your course 10 degrees south. A prompt message came in return, alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain, angered that his command had been ignored, sent a second message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain. The message came back in return, alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a seaman third class. The captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would invoke, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. See, the bottom line is none of us find it easy to yield. And every one of us have something inside of us that's driving us and speaking to us and sometimes shouting and clawing at us, trying to get us to not yield to the Spirit of God or to the plan of God, to the call of God in our life. Tell your neighbor, say, you have a call. Tell your other neighbor, say, you definitely have a call. Every one of us here are called by God. Every one of us have been empowered by God to accomplish a task in our lifetime. This is not about eternity. This is now. Faith is when? Now, right? Our hope is future. We know that Jesus Christ is our hope, and we know that he's coming back for each one of us. If we live long enough till he tarries and comes back, and he's got a place for us. We know that, but that's future. But now, this is that day that he's created. This is a day of salvation, and it's a time and a season for each one of our lives that his workmanship would walk out his plan yielded to his voice. That's what he's looking for. And sometimes we have no problem yielding until an opposing voice comes or until an opposing action comes. And then sometimes we find out how much we haven't yielded. whatever the situation is, somebody cuts you off, somebody is an inconvenience. The word yield in the verb intransitive, it means to comply with. I yielded to his request. I yielded, and I really want you to think about this all week. Every morning when you arise, Father, I yield to your request. When you get up and you go to the store, you put on a counter and you expect that person to yield to your request to allow you to buy the stuff. You want your coffee in the morning or whatever you buy, prayerfully not a soda. Hopefully we've gotten past that. Soda at 6 o'clock in the morning. Some people might be still there. I would encourage you, stop it. Just stop it, all right? But there's an expectation. You expect that. You know, you expect that person to serve you in that way. And I really believe that God's looking for us to do the same, that when we arise in the morning and he says, listen, I just want you to spend some time in the word, that we yield to that. Why? Because it's for our own good. Do you think he knows better than you? He knows a lot better than me, that's for sure. So in the morning, I want to get up and get in his word with nothing else. Sometimes I think maybe it's best that we go back to just the Bible rather than having it on our phones and our iPads. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of other junk that comes up when you go to open up your Bible app, isn't there? There's always other things that flash, quick, trying to get your attention on something else, and it's usually something that pleases your eyes, right? Because it's already done an algorithm on each and every one of us, and it knows what you like. It knows what you've been researching for the last 6 months. And so the minute you go and you turn it on, you turn on your phone, all of a sudden, bam, there's about 17 ads that go, and they know how fast the mind can process and how quick you can see it. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, 25 minutes have gone by and you haven't even got to the Bible app. So I would just encourage you maybe this year to just go back to the good book. Because if that's you and you're distracted, set that thing down. Remember last week we said the average person touches it 80 times a day, their phone. Maybe it's time to set that down, pick up his book. Oh, that the body of Christ would touch the Bible 80 times a day. My goodness, huh? Can you imagine? It also means to give way or to not oppose. This morning, I want to encourage you, don't oppose the Spirit of God when he speaks to you. If he asks you to do something, just say yes. You know, this morning we woke up and the power was out. 4 o'clock, I got out of bed, I plugged my phone, the light didn't come on. I'm like, that's weird, whatever. And I walk down the hallway, and I walk into the bathroom, turn the light on, no light. I'm like, brother. So I went out in the living room, and I looked at the temperature, the thermostat first, and said 61 or 62, something like that in the house. I was like, all right, well, nothing's going to freeze. And then I looked at the temperature outside, and it said -6, and I said, well, eventually it's going to freeze. And so then I had my thought, well, I didn't hook up my generator yet. I got it running, everything is good, but I don't know. I can't load it by myself, so I'm going to wake up Gavin to give me a hand. But I sat down and I prayed, and I said, Holy Spirit, I want to know if I need to go down there and get that generator and hook it up. I want to know what time my power is going to come on. Because I want to get here in prayer. I don't want to waste time hooking up a generator. But I don't want my house to freeze either. And I just sat in the living room, and I was just praying, and I was walking around, went and got the light, went and got clothes, work clothes and stuff like that. Because if he said it's not going to be on for 2 hours, I got to be ready to get my generator. So I got prepared. I went down. I woke up Gavin. And I said, gee, you got to get up. We might have to hook up that generator. So we came upstairs. We were just getting dressed. And I'm just sitting there. And as we got dressed, I didn't have an urgency. You know, I didn't hear it'll be on in 10 minutes and 36 seconds. That's what I wanted. But I didn't hear that. And we just waited in the living room. And I'm just talking to G. And I was like, well, we'll have to watch and see what happens, G. And so as we were standing there, power came on before we went outside. And I got back out of them work clothes. And then I went to church. But I really believe that's what God wants us to ask about. When is it going to be turned on, Lord? Whatever it is, before, not after. How did this happen? Oh, God. But beforehand, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, who is it that you have for me today? Lord, what am I supposed to lay down today? Who am I supposed to apologize today? That might be an all-day project. It's a new year. This is the time to get that thing started, all right? And to work that out. I don't care if it's the slightest one. It's the slightest thing. Because you know when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You know what you have to do before you press forward. Because you'll never go any further than your last act of disobedience. Amen? So don't oppose the Holy Spirit this morning. It means to give place as inferior in rank or excellence. We're going to give place. Are we inferior to him? Okay, then it's time we started living like it. Are our plans inferior to God's plans? Is what you want to do inferior to what God's called you to do? Okay, these are decisions, and I'm not looking at anybody, please. Are your plans superseding his? Are your thoughts superseding his? Is your pain now so great that you deny his healing power? See, this is what happens when we don't yield. When we don't yield, something happened, we hold on to it, and if we don't yield, then we say, no, my pain trumps God's promise. My plans trump God's plans. If we don't yield, then we start to take over and we don't act as those that are inferior in rank to the King of Glory. I just want everybody to know it's out there and in here. You are. And so am I. His plans are so much more spectacular than what we're living. It means to give up the contest. How long you been fighting in that contest? How long have you been fighting in that contest with God? God said, will you lay this down? We say, but God, I want this. You know, I got to find it. Getting a little out of sorts. Oh, there's a guy by the name, I don't know if you ever heard of him, a guy by the name of Len Vandenbosch. You ever hear of him, Mike? No? Go to your room. You're grounded. Len Vandenbosch. This guy was he was a Christian, and he was a coach. And he was coaching at D1 level by the time he was 22. Now, if you're going to coach at D1 level, that's the top schools and the top sports teams, right? That's where the pros are picking from. They're looking at D1 schools first because the top candidates, and this is football. And so he's coaching at doing his dream. He's at a D1 school. He's the coach. He's one of the coaches. And they figured that the way he was skyrocketing, he would be a head coach before he was 40 years old, which is spectacular. And then had a little struggle in his marriage because how many know that if you're coaching all the time, yeah, you ain't home. You're busy. But can I tell you, that doesn't go just with coaching. That goes with any one of our dreams and visions. Because if you're married and you ain't home, that causes problems. Amen? Well, all right. I guess some of you don't want to give way to that thought process. But his marriage started struggling, and then he had a son. And Len said, you know, I don't know. I gotta make a decision. Then his brother came and it said something to him. His brother came and made one statement to him. He said, what are you going to do with your life that will last for eternity? And so he went in his office and he prayed and he just thought about it. And this is his hunger, his passion, he's thirsting, and he wants to be a D1 head coach and maybe go to the pros or get a college, you know, be one of the top college coaches. But he knew what he had to do. And he walked out of the office and he went in and he put his resignation paper on the desk. He said, I have to choose something. And I choose my marriage and my son over my dreams, over what I want. And so he stepped down from coaching and he started working with the church. And as he was working with the church, he was serving there, loving the Lord, building the kingdom of God, strengthening his marriage, enjoying his son. And then lo and behold, one of the guys used to be a member of his church came up to him, and his name was Leslie Frazier. Leslie Frazier, obviously, worked with the Buffalo Bills. And he said, there's a guy by the name of Sean McDermott that's looking for a part-time chaplain for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. You see, he'd made a choice. The call of God was too great compared to his passion and what he wanted to do. The money coaching in D1, spectacular. Some of those coaches in LSU and stuff, they make more money than the pros coaches. So here he is skyrocketing. He's going to be the man. And yet he took it all and he said, the call of God, something that lasts for eternity. Now, because I'm his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So he went and he met with Sean McDermott. And for the last 5 years, he's been the chaplain for the Buffalo Bills. God gave him the desire of his heart after he laid down his desire. And I want to encourage you, this is where that yielding has to come in. I don't know what path you're on. I don't know what your plans are, what your vision is. I don't know where you're going in the future, whatever God's put on your heart. But if your focus and in your desire is, the typical American dream, shall we say, where it's, you know, your job, your retirement, your car, your house, and your vacations, if that's your whole focus, and then you're spending all of your time and all of your efforts and energy just chasing after them, and maybe even to the point where you're sacrificing the people at home or the call of God on your life, I want to encourage you that right now, this year, yield to what God is asking you to set down, lay down, give up, or surrender. Because what he has is something more spectacular than what you want. What he has is more than what you even know right now. And just as he did, you know, and for the last 5 years, he's still there. And the Bills' mantra, which is what he came up with, was people before ball. People before ball. So I don't know what your dream is, but is it people or calling people before job, people before your passion, people or the call of God before anything else? Because here's a guy that said, yeah, I want that more than I want my own desires. And so each one of us yielded last year, amen? What did you yield to last year? Was it apathy? How was the time in the word and prayer, witnessing and giving? Was it apathetic? And only you can answer this. But we're talking about yielding because we all yielded to something last year, amen? Every one of us yielded to something in our lives or to some person in our lives, prayerfully the Lord Jesus Christ. Did we yield to fear, listening too much of the enemy's theatrical lies on the television? Most of them are lies. We told you before, it's only 7% news, 93% opinion. Why am I listening to somebody else's opinion? I'm not interested in my own opinion. I'd rather just listen to God's opinion about me, because his opinion of me is much greater than my opinion about me. Maybe you yielded to anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, gossip, rejection, any of those. I don't know what you yielded to last year, but this year I believe that God's crying out that we'll yield to him and him alone. Amen? Him and his desires, that when the Spirit of God speaks, we're quick to take whatever it is and lay it down. Genesis 1:11, see, this was God's plan from the beginning. It says, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And then the scripture says, and it was so. See, God created the whole earth, right? Then he created the trees, and what his desire was that they would go and yield seed. Why did he want them to yield seed and fruit? For each one of us. And what God created, when he spoke it into their lives, into the life of those trees and plants, they did what the Father said. They yielded the seed. Thank goodness for that. Amen? We're the benefactors of them doing what they were supposed to do. And that's what God was looking for. He's looking for that which he's created to accomplish what he has set them out to do. It's amazing. One seed gives sprout to one tree, which produces millions of seed. And it's the same thing in each one of our lives. But we all know that that seed has to die and go into the ground first. Amen? That seed has to give up and surrender everything that it is before it's producing something worthy of the master. Back in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared. God's already prepared you beforehand. He's already prepared it. There's a seed inside of you. Look, I don't care how young you are in Christ, how old you are in Christ, whether maybe you've never led anybody to Christ. That's fine. Maybe you've never prayed for anybody before because you were too afraid. That's okay until today. That's okay until today, because now today we're going to yield, because you can't underestimate. Tell your neighbor, say, don't underestimate the power of your seed. Can you get that picture there, Zach, that we have? I want to show you the power of a seed. Don't underestimate the power of a seed. All right? That rock represents all the hearts that you're going to come in contact with the rest of your life. Some of them are as hard as that stinking rock right there. But when you drop one seed of the love of God from your life into that person's life, that's what happens over time. God takes the seed and starts to bring it to fruition. Not us, but we have to be the ones that sow the seed. Amen? Those trees that God planted, he said, hey, all of you apple trees, peach trees, pear trees, all these other trees that produce fruit, I want you to bear seed. And they said, yes, sir. And they started to bear fruit. And then he comes to us and he said, I made a deposit in each one of you. Wait a minute, because I'm the workman. I formed you in darkness. I spoke over your life before you were ever born. I made a way and I brought you in to my kingdom by my righteous right hand. And now what I need is I need you to yield to what I have for you the rest of your life in being led by the Spirit of God, sharing the Word of God, because I want that seed to destroy the hardness or the fear or the brokenness in people's lives so that they too can produce seed. That's what he's saying. I produced it. It's my workmanship. Don't tell me that you can't. That's what God's saying. It's not that you can't. Look, God didn't build you wrong. He didn't create something in you wrong that now all of a sudden, you're the only one that can't. You're the only one that God created that can't walk in his word and perform all the promises that he has spoken over your life. You're the only one, because God has a flaw. Look at your neighbor. They're flawless. They are. They're flawless. Yeah, they are. You don't have any flaws for the power of God being manifested through you once you come to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. There's nothing that's in you that's holding back the plan of God or the purpose of God. There's nothing that's built into you that has caused a flaw. Nothing. The only flaw is here and the thoughts that we have. That's the only flaw, and those are ours, not his. He's given us the freedom, amen? But he said, if you'll yield to me, you'll produce what? Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That's what he said. If you'll yield, oh, you'll produce. So the thought process is, if I'm not yielding, what has to happen? If I'm not producing, what has to happen? Maybe I'm not quite yielded. Maybe there's something still inside of me that there's a fight. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And what does it divide? What does it separate? The bone, the soul and the spirit. And that's the conflict, right? That Len Vanderbosch, I mean, that guy had a battle going on the inside of him. All that I want is laying before me. And I've worked hard, and everything that I'm doing is right. Except what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I really want to encourage you this year to yield to what God's plan and purpose is. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 8. It says, now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. But yield yourselves unto the Lord. So now we find out, if we don't yield, what the problem is, according to the scriptures. There's something in us. We stiffen up our neck. We stand there. We say, but this is what I want. This is what I need. Is there a need that God hasn't written in his word to take care of you that he hasn't covered? Is there any need that's not covered? He's covered every one of our needs. And then some. All of our needs are met. And all he asks is that we would yield to him. I want you to know this is a different year than last year. And we need to agree to yield to the Lord. You know, and as I said earlier, when we were in prayer, everything just started to change. And I realized when I was sitting there in prayer, how many thoughts that I have that aren't of him. We were in prayer, and some of my thoughts weren't about him. And I had a hard time wrestling them, wrapping them up, so that no other person was in my mind except for those I was praying for that needed healing. But no other thoughts were coming in there. And I thought, well, this is the way that Jesus walked. He had no other thoughts besides the thoughts of the Father, right? And this is what our focus is. Because when we have his thoughts that consume us and they take over our thoughts, oh, what a peaceful life we live. How we can walk into a situation where people are yelling and screaming and cursing at you and you don't get offended. Oh, so many Christians walking around offended constantly. How do you know? Because they talk. Isn't it easy to hear how many are offended? Upset, mad, whatever, disappointed. Listen, he said, cast all your cares upon him. Right? Tell your neighbor, say, don't put your cares on me. Won't that be nice if they don't ask you, hey, can you carry my cares? Because I got so many of them. I got wagons filled with cares. Can you give me a hand and drag them for the rest of my life? Walk alongside of me. And then you and me, we'll just talk about all the problems and all of our failures. We'll talk about everything that everybody did to us. Come on, maybe we can find about 6 or 7 more people that can just sit and we can just all talk about our problems and all of our cares, and we'll carry them all the way to the end of time. This is what so many people do because they don't yield and say, Father, all of those things, they're yours. Every bit of it is yours. I can't do it anymore. Let's not be stiff-necked, but let us surrender them to the Lord. And I really want you to think about how many thoughts consume you that are not of God. And to start to now renew the mind, change the way that you think, so that when wrong thoughts came in, if you're married, look at your spouse. She goes like this. I'm right here. This is me. I'll show you. You want my driver's license just to prove it? Now I got distracted. Oh. Oh, look at your spouse. I apologize for any wrong thoughts I've had towards you. All right, good. That's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. I didn't look around because I was looking at my spouse. Did you see anybody that was married that didn't look at their spouse? Because if they didn't yield now, that's a problem, amen? How is it going to happen when nobody else is around? It's about yielding because we've all had wrong thoughts at times. Can we make a conscious decision? Okay, I'm all done with them because I know that's where Satan plays and he wreaks havoc in my life. How bad have you beat yourself up with wrong thoughts? Huh? How often have you stared in the mirror and beat yourself up so bad you wanted to climb back into bed and forget the whole day was going to come? So what chance do our spouses have? And there's only thoughts in our head. So we got to change the way that we think, remind ourselves that she is God's workmanship. My wife is God's workmanship with all of her little things. She's still flawless. Thank you, Pastor Mike. With all of her little things, she's flawless because God designed her. Amen? And she's walking out her calling. Is it perfect? Nope, none of us are. But her life is changing other people's lives. Why would I have a wrong thought about her? What's the purpose of having a wrong thought? Why don't I yield to what the Word of God says to build her up in the most holy faith? Why not remind her of who she is in Christ? And that goes, look, if you're single and you got a mirror, works for you too. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. If you're living together, right? I don't mean guys and girls. I mean girls. We got some girls that are living together. And then you can encourage and build each other up. After you've lived together for a while, Hope, have you found some flaws in the other girls? None? That's a smart woman right there. That's called yielding. Okay? Because yielding is a choice, is it not? Isn't yielding a choice? You know what? They're probably going to pay her rent this month, I'll bet you. They'll probably team up just for that. No, Megan? Okay, well. But as we yield to the Lord, this is the joy that starts to come. This man found the desires of his heart after a few years of God opening up the door. And this year, we're going to start to yield to something different. We're going to yield when the Spirit of God says, wait a minute, I want you to walk in peace with all men as much as it is within you. Yes, sir. Wait a minute. I want you to forgive the most horrible act that's ever been committed against you. I want you to once and for all let them go so that you'll be set free. Yielding to that. I want you, one more time, I want you to forgive your spouse, whatever's happened, to let that go so that you're set free. I want you to stop meditating on everything that happened prior to today. Will you yield to that, the Lord says? Will you yield to that? Stop meditating on all of the rotten stuff that's happened prior to today. And then start to thank him for all the magnificent things that God is doing in your life right now. Right now. We're going to yield to something. So we're going to yield to his leading. We're going to yield to the authority of his word this year. Amen? We got one thing to do in 2022. Yield. Just one thing, yield. When we come in here and we join together in worship, it's funny how we come in here, I don't look around, but I guarantee you that when my wife says, everybody raise your hand, I got my eyes closed for a reason. When my wife says, everybody raise your hand, I guarantee there's people that don't raise their hand.
No.
No, they all did? Oh. She's speaking faith. But I guarantee you, there's not even a yielding there. Come on, lift them up. Surrender to the Lord. Who does she think she is? She closes her eyes because she doesn't want to get discouraged. Here she's been in prayer all night, all morning. Oh, God, just touch their lives. Holy Spirit, minister to them. Just raise your hands.
Who do you think you are, Bren? You're not the boss of me. It's about yielding this year. All right? Philippians 3:13, it says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Listen, even Paul had areas that he had to continually work on yielding himself, right? He wanted to take away that thorn in the flesh, but the Lord said no. He had to yield to that. His desire is on your mind always. His purpose, the cry of his heart this year, not ours. But he said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to that which lies ahead. He's not looking for perfection, just a love affair with the Father more than a love for the world. Just a love affair with him. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, in the Message, I just love it in the Message, the way it reads, and then the Passion. It says, don't even run a little errand that is connected with that old way of life. Don't even run a little errand that's connected with the old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Don't even run an errand. You're going to have an opportunity to have a thought that will want to run an errand of what happened last year or yesterday or some other time previous to right now. He says, don't even run an errand. And then the Passion, it says, so then refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced resurrection life, the new creation. You live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purpose. There is a noble purpose that each and every one of us are called to. We're not supposed to be eating out of a pig trough. We're not supposed to be feeding down there with the pigs. It's not where we're supposed to be. If your thoughts go where the pigs feed, you need to renew and stop it. You need to say, I'm done yielding to the pig food. That is not who I am, and that is not where I'm going ever again in my mind. I know that my God has created a right spirit on the inside of me, and my mind is renewed. And I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might this year. Philippians 3:17 to 21, it says, Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. For our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. They don't eat pig food in heaven. They don't think about foolish and demonic things in heaven. They don't get sidetracked with the foolishness of what's going on in this world. And so this year, as we yield to the King, there's going to be no, tell your neighbor, say, I'm all done striving for him to love me. I want you to know you don't have to strive for it. He already loves you. Stop trying to convince yourself. I know he loves me. I know he loves me. I think he loves me. I'm pretty sure he loves me. I hope he loves me. That's how some people spend half their day. And the minute they do something wrong, I know he doesn't love me anymore. He loved you when you were lost in darkness, amen? He loved you when you didn't love him. So stop. There's no more striving. When you make a mistake, Father, forgive me. I yield again to your leading. I yield again to your word that I am who you say I am and I can do what you said I can do. I'm no longer yielding to fear. When fear comes, you say, no, I'm not yielding to that anymore. I know that my God is for me, and if he's for me, who could be against me? And all things have become possible because I believe in him.
And I'm going to believe and not doubt this year. I'm going to yield to faith in the name of Jesus. I don't know where you what you need. We know that there's some out there that need a physical healing right now, a major physical healing. And we're going to pray for them before we leave. How about you're not going to yield to condemnation this year? Tell your neighbor, say, I'm all done. Right. You're not going to yield to condemnation any longer. Nothing on this planet can condemn you. No one can condemn you. God said he's not going to, and he's God. And that's good news. Amen? He said, I'm not going to condemn you. Stop condemning yourself. Stop condemning those around you. Yeah, but Lord, you know how they act. They don't do it like I do it. I saw some just go and look straight down. Just because they don't do it like you, they were created in perfection through the hand of the living God. Let his way be the way, not yours, not mine. No more false humility. No more being distracted by the cares of this world. Let's not yield to the cares of this world. Our needs are met by him. Let's enjoy that. No more yielding. What we're going to yield to is the Spirit of the living God. And the Spirit wants to do mighty things for each and every one of us. Amen? So let's yield to his leading this morning. And if you need help yielding, thanks, Tommy. If you need help yielding, if you're married, ask your spouse. If you're not married, find somebody you can be accountable to. Spouses, it goes both ways. The yielding. It's not about condemnation. It's not about who's right. It's just about yielding to the Spirit of the living God. Amen? And when we yield, when our thoughts are consumed by him, everything in our lives starts to change. Because our speech starts to change. Our speech starts to change. When I'm yielded to him and I'm overwhelmed by his loving kindness and his goodness, my speech changes. When I don't think about anything else except him and the way that he's taught me to think, everything in my life goes amazing. And then God starts adding to you. Why? Because the seeds of faith are starting to be planted now rather than the seeds of failure, anger, forgetfulness, whatever you want to call it. All the things that we fail at. But God wants us to yield to him this morning. And so as we close, why don't you go ahead and stand up? And I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes. This is your time with your God. Listen, if you're not going to close your eyes and yield right now, oh, there's some, yeah, I ain't doing it. I don't care who you are. You're not in charge of me. No, but I know the one who is. So just close your eyes, and I want you to just think about what he's called you to do. I want you to think about the thing that you enjoy doing for him. Maybe it's opening up your house. The Bible says the gift of hospitality. Maybe you have the gift of giving. Maybe you have the gift of prophecy. Maybe you have the gift of leadership. Maybe you have the gift of exorcism. I don't know what your gift is. But how about just think about that gift? Because the giver of the gift, he wants that gift expressed on the earth. He wants that gift expressed, just like he wanted the tree to produce fruit, because that was going to feed all of his sons and daughters. And the gift that he deposited on the inside of you, it's to feed all of his sons and daughters. It's to build them, to strengthen them, to love them, to encourage them, to help them, to fill them. It's for all of it. And then ask him, Lord, what area have I lacked in yielding to you? Let's just start with the biggest one right now, Lord. What's the thing that's been hindering me from being able to walk out in that peace and having that joy, walking in that rest and watching your kingdom expand. What is it in me, Lord? And whatever the Holy Spirit puts his finger on, I just want to encourage you, this is your time with your God, to just repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I held out. I'm sorry that I backed away. I'm sorry that I pushed it to the side. Or I'm sorry that I was too afraid to even step out in it. I'm sorry that I was too undisciplined last year to actually experience any of that or grow in it. Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't yield to studying up on the gift that you have given me or the purpose or the plan that you had for my life. But this year is going to be different. I'm going to yield to your leading. I'm going to come in because what you're doing is spectacular, Father. The work that you're doing around the world. Thousands of Muslims coming to Christ in Iran, in Iraq, in Turkey. Lord, there's a massive move of the Spirit of God around the world, and we want to be a part of it. Yes. Father, we want to yield. We want to just pull in to what the Spirit of God is doing. We want to yield. We want to pull right in and just join in with all that you're doing right now, Lord. And Lord, we want to see that kind of an outpouring in our lives, where the Spirit of God leads and guides, and we start to watch people's lives change because of the Christ that lives on the inside of us. We agree this morning, Lord, that we are your workmanship, created for good works. And Lord, we want to be those that produce seed in the name of Jesus. So Father, we yield to you. We surrender. We take our lives and we say, I'm yours once again. We lay down our pride, our arrogance, our shame and our guilt, for you've taken it anyway. And we say, Lord, today this is yours. We yield. And Lord, because we yield, you said that you have already deposited the Spirit of God inside of us, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. And so therefore, for those that need a healing right now in the name of Jesus, for our brother Al, who's still in the hospital, Al Blanks, we speak to his body, be strong in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up and get home, Al, in the name of Jesus. For Miss Pat, be healed in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her now. Joanne, liver, be healed in the name of Jesus. Life, strength, now in Jesus' name. Miss Flo, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you said whatever we ask, when we ask in faith, we'll have what we say. No matter how big the mountain, Lord, we look at you and you alone. So this morning as a body, Lord, we yield and say, thank you for your healing power in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, my God and King. We thank you for the testimonies of the goodness of our God. Lord, we bless your name today. And once again, we surrender, for you alone are worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.